one is dedicated to each and every one of you who appreciate a great glass of wine.
Hey everyone, on today's episode of Exploring the Wine Glass, we head back to Winefabet Street, where the letter of the day is L, and it stands for Lugana, a small DOC in Italy based on Lake Garda. There are about 200 producers in the entire DOC, and they focus on one grape, the white grape Turbiana. We had the pleasure of having the brand ambassador for Lugana DOC as our guest host. Susanna Gold of Vigneto Communications shares her in-depth knowledge of the DOC with us. Country music by Keyvens. Publisher, KTF Publishing. Distributor, AWAL. Label, KTF Music.
Wine. Blush. Wine.
Hey everybody, you know what time it is. It's time to unscrew, uncork, or saber a bottle, and let's start exploring the wine glass. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program, Somme Day Service, and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials, as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time to swipe, subscribe, rate, and review. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We are live. Happy Winefabet Street Monday. How is everybody today?
We're doing well.
We are really excited today. Debbie and I have a very special guest today. And Susanna Gold is the brand ambassador for Lugana. And as you know, this month is L, and we were like, yeah, let's get some Lugana wines.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, X, T, U, V, W, A, Y, O, R. Now I know my A, B, C. Next time, won't you sing with me?
So happy, happy Monday, Deb. Susanna, how are you two today?
We're doing well.
Good, good.
Doing very well.
In case you don't know, if this is your first episode, I'm your co-host, Lori, and my husband and I own Dracena Wines in Paso Robles. I also write under the blog and do the podcast under Exploring the Wine Glass. I am WSET Level 2 certified, Somme Day certified, and I did graduate from UC Davis Winemaking. And I am just happy to be here talking to my friends here about wine. So, Deb?
I am Debbie Giaquindo. I'm a certified specialist of wine and a wine location specialist in Port and Champagne. I own a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey.
And our special guest today is Susanna Gold. So, Susanna, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you get into wine? You know, what's that origin story?
Okay, so I'm Susanna Gold. I got into wine when I was kind of young because my parents drank a lot of wine. My father made wine in the basement with our neighbor who was Sicilian, and they made wine in the basement here in New Jersey. And when I was growing up, my father was a huge Francophile, and so he loved everything about France, and he would take us to France all the time, and everything was better in France. My mom drank a lot of Lancers and Matus, so, you know, I was kind of the age in which we drank Riuniti when I was, you know, in high school. So I kind of covered all of that American past in the wine world, and I think when my parents were dating, it was like when Chianti was in a flask, right, on the table, and then the candle in the flask. So all of that was part of my growing up. But I really started studying wine. In college, I lived in Dijon, and I was a French major. But my real study of wine began when I was living in Italy, and I lived there for 15 years. And I was doing another profession, but I was obsessed with traveling around Italy, and I began to study wine as a way to travel around the country. And the rest is history.
As they say. Boy, that's awesome. Living in France, living in Italy, I can deal with that.
So I got involved with Lugana. I have a promotions, marketing, and communications company called Vignetto Communications. And together with a friend, I pitched a Lugana client. I had never heard of Lugana, although I lived in Lombardy for 10 years. Lugana's in Lombardy and the Veneto, but I lived there. And we pitched this client, and she got some bottles of Lugana, and we tasted them. And I just, my mind was blown away by Lugana. And this is around 2009. And I just fell in love with the wines. And then when I would go every year to Vinitaly, because I'm very specialized in Italian wine, I work with other kinds of wine, I write about wine, but I have a real sweet spot and a lot of knowledge about Italian wine. So I go to Vinitaly every year, and I went into the Lombardy Pavilion, and I started tasting through all the Lugana. Then I was, by chance, I met the director of the Lugana Consortium. I was working with a different consortium, and I met the director of the Lugana Consortium. This is around 2013. And he said, next Vinitaly, come and visit, and we'll start, you know, we'll see if we can work together. And so I've been working with Lugana for, this is my sixth year with Lugana, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, this is my sixth year. And it's been, it's really was love at first sight, and it's one of those love affairs that continues. Lugana is a really exciting region.
Where it is?
Okay, so Lugana is a region on the southern side of Lake Garda. Lake Garda is the largest lake in northern Italy. The Lugana region in and of itself is kind of straddles two Italian regions. One is Lombardy and the other is the Veneto. So think of Lugana as being between Venice and Milan, right? If you kind of have an idea of where that, if you've ever been to Italy and you've ever gone on the train, you will have passed the Lugana region if you took the train or drove from Milan to Venice. So Lugana is a region that straddles the southern side of the lake. And it's a kind of the elevation of the vineyards is not that high. It goes from towards right by the lake is around 50 meters above sea level. And then it goes a little bit inland and it gets to like 130 meters above sea level. I should have started out saying that Lugana is a white wine. And it's made with a grape variety that's called Turbiana.
Or you say it so much better than I can. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Turbiana.
Am I close? Turbiana.
Turbiana. Just kind of flat. I think everyone, when people sometimes when they speak Italian think you have to go up and like make it, you know, more mellifluous than it always is. Just say it straight. Turbiana.
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 Right.
Turbiana.
So, Turbiana. Well done. And so, Turbiana is their fantasy name for this grape. The grape name is Trebbiano di Lugana, but at the time, it's still this way. A lot of people, when they think of Trebbiano, they think of Trebbiano Toscano, which is not considered to be as high a quality as Trebbiano di Lugana. So they came up with this name to speak about this particular grape variety in this particular terroir. So it's Turbiana, it's the grape variety. The name of the wine is Lugana. It's a DOC, so that means it's a wine region that has a denomination and it's a delimited area. So it's the Denominazione d'Origine Controllata, so it's a DOC, so Lugana DOC. That's the name of the wine. The name of the area is Lake Garda, and the grape variety is Turbiana. And it comes in five styles. Should I start talking about that? Do you want?
Yes, please.
How does it? Okay, so Lugana is a wine that you both have had, and it's a beautiful wine for many reasons. But let me take a step back and talk about the five styles of the wine. So you can find Lugana that's five different styles, and they're all basically 100% Turbiana. They have the option of having a small percentage of other white grape varieties when they make the wine, but most producers now have moved to making just 100% Turbiana. Most of the wine is made in stainless steel in terms of its aging, It's and it's vinification. It's made in stainless steel. Some of it does go through oak, but a very small percentage. So most of it, most of Lugana, I would say 90% of Lugana that's made, is made into the vintage year. So most of it is made into kind of a fresh white wine that's relatively easy to drink. But I don't mean easy to drink as if it's just quaffable and that's it, because Lugana has a lot of structure for white wine. It's got a lot of body. It has beautiful salinity, really nice acidity and minerality on the palate. I find it also to be very versatile. I invited you guys to a couple of dinners that I held as I was doing kind of different ethnic cuisines to pair them with Lugana. And I remember you both came to one that I had in a Mexican restaurant, and I thought that the wines paired really well with those Mexican dishes. I've also paired Lugana with Indian food, which was Southeast Asian food, actually. It was just fantastic. I've also done it with a Chinese banquet. So I've done Lugana dinners with a lot of different cuisines. Of course, it goes very well with Italian food, too. So 90% is this one, the vintage year. So right now, what's on the market is coming out right now is the 2019. What I'm drinking at home and what you are drinking at home is the 2018, which is the vintage from last year. So that's the 90% of the wine. Then there's Lugana Superiore, which has a little more aging. Then there's a Lugana Riserva, which has further aging in the bottle. The Reserva, it's 24 months.
Okay.
And the other two styles, there's the late harvest, which are late harvest grapes that are picked on the vine, right? And this is a very small percentage. I know only three producers who make late harvest. And you guys tried one of the producers, I believe, Marangona. And they're fantastic. It's Lugana makes really beautiful late harvest wines because the skin of Lugana is kind of thick. So it's the kind of grape that can withstand drying, right? And then the other style, which I think you both have tried as well, are the sparkling wines. Mm-hmm. So there's a Charmat version and a classical version, so a traditional method where it goes through re-fermentation in the bottle, right? As opposed to the Charmat method, which is in the Oro Conclave. So I think you guys have tried all of those styles at different points in our time together with Lugana. Am I right?
I think I have tried every version, yeah. And I have not found one that I did not go, oh my God, this is really good. Like it's not even just, like you said, it's not just a quaffable wine. When you sit down and you taste a Lugana across any of those five spectrums, there's complexity in these wines. And there's, I think I was initially shocked because I was expecting a very light palate wine. And it's got more body to it than what I had thought it would be in a beautiful way.
Right. It's got a lot of viscosity on the palate and a lot of texture, I think. It's kind of like it coats your palate, but in a positive way. It's not oily, but it's a beautiful wine that has weight. It's a wine that, you know, definitely you can have with some heartier foods. I mean, Debbie, you own a restaurant. I don't know what you might pair Lugana with, apart from the things that we've tried together. I just think Lugana is just so versatile as a wine, and
in the samples that I've had, from the sparkling wine to the still wine, I mean, it's, you know, it can go so many different ways to pair with food.
Well, I'm going to share a pairing I had, Susanna, and I don't know if you're going to, I didn't know about this one, but it was beautiful.
Tell me.
Bacon-wrapped dates.
Oh, bacon-wrapped dates are so 70s. I love bacon-wrapped dates. So funny.
So good.
I bet it was great. I mean, I could just imagine that kind of some Lugana has flintiness and smoke that can really pair well with dates, with, you know, bacon-wrapped dates. Was it covered in, like, balsamic vinegar, too?
It was like a dried balsamic. Like, they had the balsamic on it, but then it went in the oven, so it was, you know...
Love it. Oh, my God, you're making me want to ask my mom, can you, like, you know, go do one of those.
So I'll add to that, and we'll do bacon-wrapped monkfish.
Oh.
That sounds great. That would go well. That sounds great. When I visited Lugano the first time, I was on a press trip, and they took us to all different kinds of restaurants and to visit many of the producers. And then I want to just mention something about some of the producers. And one of the things that they eat a lot of on Lake Garda, they eat a lot of fish. They have a lot of lake fish, of course. But they also eat a lot of raw fish, like, you know, a lot of carpaccio of one thing or, you know, raw shrimp. And it's just Lugano just explodes with that kind of, like, you know, raw fish. Fantastic. I mean, amazing with sushi. Lugano does really well in Japan, which I can see that. It's a lot of also, you know, Italy is a country that's surrounded by sea, right? Everywhere you go in Italy, there's the sea. But yes, on Lugano, Lake Garda is a lake, and it's Italy's biggest and deepest lake. And yes, the fish comes from the Lake Garda. And they have, you know, very specific fish also that are in the lake. There's a lot of trout and other fish that I'm hard pressed to make the translation, but I just remember this into English. It was amazing, this raw fish dinner at this very beautiful restaurant on Lake Garda, which Lake Garda has everything, by the way. You can do any water sport on Lake Garda. It's super close to beautiful art cities. It's super close to the mountains on the northern side. I mean, it's just a great place to go on vacation. Well, and drink Lugano, of course, when you're there. But it's a really nice part of Italy that I feel like is kind of overlooked by American tourists. I mean, right now we can't travel, but one day we will be able to travel. And Lake Garda should definitely be on your register. One thing I wanted to say about the Lugano producers is, there are about 200 producers that make Lugano, but there's only, when I started working with Lugano 9 years ago, they made around 9 million bottles. And now they make around 23 million bottles. But that's it. That's the whole, that's the entire production of Lugano. So that's not so big.
It's tiny.
Think about, the vendor I work with makes 20 million bottles. Not of Lugano, another person I work with.
So what's so exported it, you know, to states?
About 10% of that. About 10%. So not that much. So not that much.
While we're talking about Lake Garda, it is Italy's largest lake, right? And it does play a major role in how Lugano is produced. So can you tell us a little bit of what that climate is like in the Lugano DOC, and how does it affect the vineyard and the fruit itself?
Of course, and let's talk about the soils too. So the climate of Lugano has a very mild climate because of the mitigating effects of the lake, right? So the lake absorbs cold in the winter and absorbs heat in the summer, right? So there's this very mild climate on Lake Garda. And in fact, they grow amazing, they make amazing olive oil on Lake Garda. It's so Mediterranean that there are beautiful olive trees all around, and it's very soft olive oil. It's beautiful if you ever get the chance to try olive oil from Lake Garda. So the climate is pretty mild there. Doesn't rain that much. It doesn't get that hot. The diurnal temperature changes are not very extreme. It's pretty constant in weather, right? That's the climate. So Lugano, the area, the soils, is the result of the retreat of a glacier around 250,000 years ago in something called the Reese era. Lake Garda was a glacier, and the glacier retreated. And so the soils that surround Lake Garda and that make up Lake Garda have a lot of this organic material and this debris that comes from it's a moraine. So when a glacier retreats, all of those levels of organic materials that are left in the soil. So it's this very interesting soil that has a lot of different materials within it. It's sedimentary soil, but it in the winter, and it can get very dry, the soil in Lugano. And it can be very tough to work this soil. So producers have to work really hard to keep their vines going and to keep it healthy. They do not irrigate in Lugano. I think they're allowed to in extremis, but they don't really ever irrigate. But the soils are really tough. If you ever see a picture of the Lugano soils, it looks like they're hard as a rock, right? When they're dry. But when they're wet, they can become kind of muddy. So it's complicated. They're complicated soils. But some of the vines in Lugano are very old, like 60 years old, 80 years old. And so it's very, very interesting area. And it's mostly run by families. So there are not too many large concerns. There are some that just bottle grapes, but very few. Most are family-run farm. Mm. Yes, I had sent you a bottle of this Selva Caputa wine.
Yes.
Also, okay. I tried to send you to each one of the same, and then a different bottle.
Okay, yeah. So Suzanne, can you hold your bottle up again, and then tell us a little bit about that winery?
Yes.
So
this producer is called Selva Caputa.
Okay.
Can you see the bottle?
I can see Selva.
Okay. Selva is the name of the wine, and the producer's name is Selva Caputa.
Okay.
Caputa means hill. So this producer, I believe you guys have met him. Luca Formentini, did you ever meet him at the wine media conference or in New York? He used to be the president of the Lugana Consortium, the Consortium of Lugana, like consortium in so many different places. They kind of do the quality control of the wines, and they help producers, and they promote the wines. And he was the president of the consortium. His family is on their 103rd vintage.
Wow.
It's kind of exciting. Yeah. And he's a lovely guy. He runs the family winery now. And the winery has so much history behind it. We'll never get to talk about anything else if I keep going. So I love Luca. He's a really nice guy. He also is kind of an alternative musician. He makes, he likes to record the sound of silence walking around, and he plays strange instruments he makes. So he's just a really funky, fun guy. But he makes beautiful wines.
It is beautiful. It's smooth. It's crisp. It's very nice.
Yeah, and they're very direct, his wines, I find. You know, very minimal interventionist, right?
And now is that's the basic level that you're drinking? That's a bottle of that 90% of most of the Lugano
wines?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes. This is 2018, as I said. Sorry, I'm just enjoying the minerality. I'm just having that Lugano moment. Sorry. So sorry. I will send you a separate bottle separately too. You know, mia colpa. Sorry about that. Anyway, I got spaced out. What were we saying?
I had asked, is that the bottle that you're drinking, is it the basic level, the 90% of
yes,
what is Lugano?
This is the 90%. 90% is the vintage year. So most Lugano you'll find is the year that was just released. And it's usually 100% Turbiana. So this is a very typical Lugana in terms of the salinity that I feel, kind of the acidity. It's citrusy. I get apple, like so many Italian white wines. I get a little bit of almond on the finish, that little kind of bitter note on the finish that I like. I also find Lugana very floral. I get kind of white blossoms like acacia flowers. What about you, Debbie? What do you think?
I don't have I get the apple, the tree fruit and stuff. I not so much the floral.
And are you drinking, but you're drinking a different one, Debbie?
You're drinking Conchiglia from Cittadina.
And I get the minerality. That is beautiful.
Do you get a lot of that sort of sapidity, salinity? I don't know which word.
Yes, it's
like salty, marine, salinity,
and it's the salinity, and yes, I get that.
I love that.
It's actually beautiful.
It makes me salivate, and it makes me want to eat something, right? You know, I found that with Lugana, you kind of, you have a glass, and it's like, and then I went nuts, and then I went more, and then I went more, and then I went, yeah, like having, because the great thing about Lugana is you can have Lugana as an aperitivo, so you can have it, you know, having nuts or something at a table, just saying hi, chatting with friends. You can have Lugana with a first course. You can have Lugana with pizza. You can have Lugana with a second course. You can have a Lugana with dessert. You can kind of have Lugana all through your meal and different versions of Lugana or the same Lugana. I mean, I find it, the same Lugana works beautiful. Really well, different things. Isn't that beautiful?
It is just beautiful. I would say scallops.
I could have it with scallops. It doesn't have to be a heavy, fancy dish. Right. It could be something. Pizza, it could be a bruschetta, you know, it could be any of those things.
Right. And I see it with like a carbonara sauce, because it's got a little bit of acidity.
Yeah,
it does has really nice acidity. No, I've never really had a Lugana with something that, I can't think of anything that I wouldn't pair Lugana with. I just, they're just really beautiful wines. They're really well made. They are long, you know, there's a
they're
lot of
clean acidity. And they're beautiful.
Yeah, I think they're, and they're surprisingly so. And they're relatively well priced. I mean, most of them are under $20.
We just have to be able to find it.
You have to be able to find them. The bigger problem is to find them. It's hard. It's harder to find them than one would hope it would be.
So where would you find them?
Well, I know that like a wine.com or a Total Wine has a couple of Lugana producers. They don't have 20, but they have two or three. There are some Lugana producers that have a longer history in America than others, so it's easier to find their wines, like Zenato, for example, or Camaiol. I always like to talk about the Camaiol story. Camaiol is an Italian producer that was bought by a huge Italian group, the Santa Margherita group, right? And Santa Margherita, as we know, makes Santa Cristina, so the most famous Pinot Grigio, right, in America, is made by Santa Margherita. And the fact that they bought a company in Lugana showed to me how much they believe in Lugana as a white wine that can grow, right, and have a presence in America, because as we know, Pinot Grigio took over the United States in terms of Italian white wines years ago. So I always think that's really interesting. And another a wine producer that's really pretty famous for other wines who bought a Lugana some years ago is Allegrini. You probably know her for her Amarone, her Valpolicella. She also has a winery in Lugana, as does Zenato. So one of the things about Lugana is it's in two different regions, so Lombardy and the Veneto. Well, most of the vineyards are in the Lombard side, but a lot of the producers' headquarters are in the Veneto side. Because of the way Lake Garda works, there are so many different denominations around Lake Garda. Like Amarone is near Lake Garda, not on Lake Garda. Then you have Valpolicella, which is near Lake Garda, but not on Lake Garda. Then you have Bardolino, which is on Lake Garda. And so a lot of these producers make wines in all these different denominations. So one of the ways to find a Lugana in America is, of course, to Google it and to look on bigwine.com or Drizzly or Total Wine, those big stores, and certainly smaller Italian-focused wine shops or people in the know will have a Lugana. And think about some of the producers that you know that are big names in the Veneto. They probably make a Lugana, too. So that's another way to think about how to find a Lugana if you can't, or you can call me and I will help you find a Lugana in your location, you know, through Drizzly or other things. But I would love there to be more Lugana. And in the 6 years that I have worked with them, it's such a bummer because of COVID, because right before COVID kind of hit the United States, I did a few shows for Lugana with Slow Wine around America. And there was so much interest in Lugana. I couldn't believe it. Just producer after producer, I mean, importer after importer came up to me asking to find a Lugana that was free to come into the U.S. market. So it's a wine that people are much more aware of now, and there's a lot of interest in it. So I think Lugana has a beautiful future in the United States. It's just, you know, slow building up because of different challenges, but not because of anything about the wine. I mean, the wine, I think, is just amazing. And so easy to pronounce, Lugana.
Lugana.
Right? Some places within the center of the country, A little bit. It depends on where different producers find an importer, unless it's a producer, a big producer like Zenata, who works with Winebow, and they're everywhere, right?
Okay.
So it depends on the producer and who their importer is and what the reach is of that particular importer.
So you were talking about how there's so much to do on Lake Garda and all of that stuff. So, like, they can go, they can wine taste during, you know, the day, they can sail or stand up paddleboard, do all that stuff. But actually, how does somebody get to Lugana? Like, where would you recommend flying into, and then how do you travel to get there?
Great question. So you can either fly into Verona, which is in the Veneto. You can fly into Verona. You could fly into Venice. You can fly into Milan. You can fly into Bergamo. And those are all different cities in northern Italy where you can fly into. The best way to travel around Lugana is, of course, to rent a car.
Okay.
You know, is absolutely the best way to get around anywhere in Italy, really, is to rent a car so that you can drive up. I mean, Lake Garda is beautiful, you know, rising, falling hills to drive around. If you can't drive around, you can take a train from Milan or from Venice or from Verona. You could take an intercity train or a Eurostar train, and you can go to a town called Desenzano del Garda, which is one of the five communes in Lugana. So there's Desenzano, another town called Peschiera del Garda, are two big towns that have big train stations. So you could go to either of those places and then take a taxi from a train station to a wine producer, or call up the wine producer and ask them to come get you, and maybe they will.
Wow.
You're going to do a tour, or you could rent a bus, or you know, get on a bus. Buses are a little more complicated. When I went to visit Luca, he was supposed to get me at the station, and something happened and he couldn't, so he sent a taxi to get me. And I, you know, I told the driver where to take me, and he took me there. I went last summer with my son to the Veneto, and I took him to Gardaland, which is like the European Disneyland, and it's right in the Lugana region. So we didn't have a car, and we did everything by train, which you can do too. So those are different ways to do it. But anyone who feels comfortable driving stick, because it's of course much easier to rent a stick car than an automatic in Italy, I would rent a car to go. And there are really great places to visit, and a lot of producers, including Luca, the producer Selva Capuzza, have agriturismi. So they have, you know, a bed and breakfast of different dimensions or sizes or types. I mean, Luca is very kind of Spartan. He doesn't have television in his guest rooms, but there are others that are, you know, different styles. There are some spas on Lake Garda too. So you can wine taste, go to a spa, go to Sirmione, see Catellus's villa, buy some olive oil. I mean, there's so much to do. And at night, if you go during the summer, you can go to the opera in Verona. So
very nice.
In the Colosseum in Verona. So, I mean, there's just so much to do in the arena, not the Colosseum, called l'arena.
And
so
when
there's really a lot to do in this area.
When somebody goes and let's say they want to plan a visit to Lugana, forget pandemic wise, but prior to that, did they need appointments, or is it more of like a walk-in? Like, is it kind of like here where you can go place to place, or is it further away, like one winery to another winery? Is it?
It's a little bit, it's not quite the same as if like you're in Napa and driving down and you stop at one after another, just because the wineries are smaller. Not everybody has the same size tasting room.
Okay.
So I would think a good thing to do would be to call ahead and find out, do I need a reservation? Do I not need a reservation? How far away are you from the train station or from this other winery? And probably the best thing to do would be to go to Lake Garda for a week and kind of organize maybe a wine tasting or two during the days that you're there, and other activities during the days that you're there too. Because of course they're more leisurely than we are. You know, it's not like let's power through. Although when I was there on a press trip, of course we did 2 million things in 3 days, but you know how press trips.
Does a winery focus on a specific style that you discussed earlier, or does a winery make multiple styles?
Well, most of the wineries make multiple styles, but not all of them.
Okay.
I mean, there are different producers. For example, the sparkling versions of Lugana. There are a couple of producers who are very focused on the sparkling version. There's a couple of producers who are really focused on organic viticulture and organic, organic grapes and organic wines. So that's kind of, you know, more what they're doing. There's a producer that you both tasted wines from, Marangona, who does a lot of different styles. So he does an organic wine. He does one that's aged in concrete. He does others that are aged in stainless steel. He does a late harvest. So there's a very kind of, for such a small area, there's sort of a lot of different things going on all at the same time. There's people who focus on sparkling. There's no one really that focuses on late harvest exclusively, because you can't really make money
that, right?
Just that. So a lot of people do all of the five styles, but not everybody. Not everybody does the five styles. And as I said, there's some organic viticulture and some interest in natural wine. I don't know if there are any biodynamically certified wineries at the moment, but there are ones who I think will be moving in that direction. And there's kind of a younger generation of winemakers and owners now in Lugana. So, you know, a lot of people who are under 40 who are running their, you know, the wineries now.
Awesome.
And a lot of both women and men who are running the wineries. So that's really kind of interesting. And they seem like a pretty nice, cohesive group of producers to me. I think that one of the difficulties about Lugana that I always talk about and just mention is there are a lot of different bottle styles. So the bottle style it's not like in Austria where there's, a flag on the cap and that says to you, this is an Austrian wine. So it's a little bit more confusing to see and find a Lugana just by sight. You have to maybe ask for it or look at the label or know the producer, so that could be a complication. But on the other hand, it shows a lot of individuality among the different producers. And I think they're trying to show their own individual style with their own bottle shape.
And with that, what is the grape itself? You had mentioned that it's thick-skinned. So is it a late ripener? Is there anything, like, is it mildew-prone? I'm guessing that there's probably a big difference between how those grapes are, the vine balance when it's closer to Lake Garda than as it moves further away. I'm guessing, do they...
You mean the canopy?
Or yeah, do you mean the trellis? Sorry, vine balance. Sorry, canopy, yes.
Yeah. No, that's okay. UC Davis girl. And I have a few books, so I know what you mean. But so is there a lot of canopy management? There's some canopy management. They have talked to me about some changes that have gone on because of climate change. And so, you know, they need a little bit more leaf cover, right?
Okay.
And sometimes they've talked to me about doing green harvesting because, you know, somebody might want more sunshine than they're getting. So there's kind of a lot of different things going on. They're very close to the lake, but there's a lot of wind from the lake. So that cleans a lot of the, you know, potential parasites or disease. Whenever they talk about Lugana, they never talk to me that often about vine disease. It's not like there's one vine disease that's attacking, you know, like Pierce's disease. There's not one vine disease that's really problematic for Lugana as a grape. I didn't mention this before, but Lugana is genetically identical to Verdicchio, right? The grape from Le Marche. Of course, it tastes a little bit different because of the terroir where it grows, right? But genetically, I've been going back and forth about this for decades now, but they've come out, the grape authorities, have come out on the side that Verdicchio and Lugana Turbiana are the same grape variety. They're biotypes of one another. And when you think about the way Verdicchio is and how everyone says Verdicchio is one of the only Italian white wines that can age, I think it just also underlines that Lugana is a wine that can age as well. And that's one of the things I always like to talk about Lugana too, because Lugana is a grape wine that can age. So that's something to think about just in terms of Lugana. So if you find in a store a Lugana that's a little bit older, it doesn't mean that it's a closeout wine and it's not good. It's actually probably fantastic, right? Because, you know, the person who bought the wines may not know that Lugana has is such a beautiful wine that ages. So did I answer your canopy question?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get in that thing about the length of, you know, the age-worthiness of Lugana, because it's something that I've been trying to show for a while. Absolutely. Of course, everything depends on how things are stored, as you know better than I. So, you know, I can't guarantee every bottle of Lugana how it's stored, wherever it is, but...
And now, a word from our sponsor. Looking to be in the know about Dracena wines? Want to be the first to know about our new releases and special offers? All you need to do is sign up for our newsletter. There is no commitment necessary, and I promise you we won't spam your mailbox with loads of messages. Need another reason to sign up? Quite possibly the best reason? You'll immediately get a discount code for 10% off your first purchase and be privy to newsletter-only discounts. Let Dracena Wines turn your moments into great memories. Visit our website, www.dracenawines.com, or use the link in show notes to sign up. It will take you less than a minute, but the rewards will last a lifetime. We have two questions from people who are watching. Karen was asking, you had mentioned that right by the lake, it's about 50 meters above sea level. As it goes away, she said that she was on Lake Garda last summer, but she was in Switzerland and the vines were extremely steep. What's it like on the other side, you know?
Right. So that was a different lake though, right? That's not Lake Garda. It's not in Switzerland. The lake that she's talking about is Lake Geneva. Not Lake Garda. And I know just where she's talking about. She's talking about the vines by Montreux and Vevey. And it's just gloriously beautiful. But it's not the same lake. Okay. So Lake Garda is only in Italy. Lake Geneva is in Switzerland, right?
Okay. So are the... But those are not steep in Lugana.
No.
It's not steep at all, correct?
That's why I know what she's talking about, because this is totally flat.
Okay.
This is totally flat. It's, you know, 50 meters. It's right by the lake. I don't have a picture that I can, you know, just kind of blast up into the podcast. Right. It goes up to 130. It's not very high.
Okay.
Not very high. It's
so Michael wants to know how long that it can age.
How long can it age? Well, I've had Lugana that's 10 years old, but right now the Lugana Consortium is celebrating its 30th anniversary. And they're doing tomorrow, actually. I wish I were in Italy to do this. They're doing tastings of Lugana back to 1995.
Oh, so, wow.
Isn't that exciting? So that's a 25-year-old Lugana. You know, the thing about Lugana is that since they don't make that much Lugana, for years they were just very focused on this 90% of the wine, which is the vintage year that they were trying to sell through. So... people didn't necessarily put aside some of the wine to, you know, make it into the library, to hold it back, to see how it would be, you know, until it could age. But now that people understand how wonderful Lugana is, they realize what they have. And some people did hold back, you know, some bottles of wine, but they don't have so many. I was just talking to the Consortio today saying, like, I wish I was at that tasting. And he said, you know, I don't have bottles. Otherwise, I could send them to you, but I don't have them. So that's kind of exciting. So to answer Michael's specific question, tomorrow they're going to do some tastings of Lugana that's 25 years old. I don't think you're going to find Lugana that's 25 years old in the United States, but I definitely think that Lugana, a 10-year-old Lugana, would be fantastic.
That's awesome. 25 years. That
yeah.
What to, I would love to be at that tasting.
Oh my God, me too. I want to be a fly on the wall. Hear what they have to say, you know,
just to see the differences on the different years.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, is the coloring, the aging,
color,
has it aged? I haven't ever really seen, actually that's not true. So I had a bottle of a wine that was a 2014 a little while ago, and it had oxidized a little bit, but it was fantastic. It was delicious, even though it did have a little bit of that kind of golden color. It depends on your palate and what you... I mean, I like sherry. You know, I like sherry. I like some of that. I like old viura, you know, from Spanish wine that has some of that. Right. So it's a little bit... It depends on what you actually, you know, on your own specific palate. But most Lugana does not become oxidized. It's, you know, this beautiful, you know, lemon, pale, yellow, lemon, right. Gold. Yeah. Color that you'll see.
Now, Suzanne, you talked about the one wine that you had, but I want to hear about the other winery that, right, you had two. Do you have two with you?
I don't have two, but Debbie has another one.
I have two.
It's Chitari is the other winery and Chitari is a winery. So there are some of the areas are closer to the lake, and Chitari is one of them. It's closer to the lake. So they're a winery that it gets more breezes from the lake. Selva Capuzza is a winery that is a little bit in a little interior, so closer to 130 meters, whereas Chitari is closer to 50 meters. And I wanted to show the differences between the two of them. So there's kind of a little more minerality in the wines that are farther away from the lake, and they say this is a word that they use in Italian. They say it's like lacustre, so it means it like sort of from the ones that are from near to the lake have something that they find it has more salinity. So a little more.
This does have more salinity.
It does, closer to the lake and a little more minerality in the other. So there's a little bit of sand in the wines that are in. A little bit farther away from the lake in the soil. Yeah. Sorry, not in the wine. There's a little more sand. Yeah, sorry. No sand in the wine. No sand in the wine. There's a little more sand in the soil. So a little farther away from the lake. There are also kind of crew areas in Lugana. Historically, there are two of them, San Benedetto and another one called Rovizza. And they are closer to the lake. And I believe Chitari is there. I love the wines from Chitari. I found them to be really amazing. Are you tasting one that's called Conchiglia with a C? C-O-N?
Yeah, C-O-N.
Yeah, so Conchiglia means shells. So there, you know, there's a lot of marine fossils.
You can taste that.
Lake.
Yeah, you can taste the shells that were deposited and...
Limestone, calcareous soil.
Yes.
So, yeah, I see why that could be, you know, a little more vibrant and beautiful. But I wanted you to see kind of the two, a little tiny little differences that you'll see from different Lugana. It's like, you know, somebody could have a collection of Lugana from different areas around the lake because there are different areas around the lake.
Price point as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, Lori.
Philip has a question. He wants to know what your favorite, do you have a favorite producer? Or why? And I'm going to say that's probably like asking Susanna her favorite child type question because...
Exactly. I was going to say no. You know, even if I did, I couldn't tell you. It would be impolitic of me. I actually really like all the producers that I know personally. I've tasted loads of Lugana and I love it. And I recently did a little video for their 30th anniversary of I practically started to cry about how much I love Lugana, and the communications person at the consortium was like, you had tears in your eyes. And it's true. I just really love Lugana. It's just, you know, one of those wines that really just makes me happy. And every time I open a bottle, I'm happy to drink it. I find the stories really great. And I love sharing Lugana with my friends. So I think you really can't go wrong. I've never had a Lugana that I didn't like. Sure,
so
there are differences between the producers.
Right. To share a little bit, Philip, I was in New York City and Susanna was nice enough to invite me to the dinner at the Mexican restaurant. And the first wine she opened up, she was so bubbly and so happy about and talking. And then the next one, I was like, oh, this, she's really likes this producer. And then the next one, she was like, oh, okay, so now here we go. Blah, blah, blah. And she was equally, I think we had six wines that night.
We did. We had,
each one she was equally in, you know, ecstatic about. And I was like, oh yeah, come on. And then I would taste it and I would be, oh my God, yes, I am as equal. Like each wine is better than the next, but then if you switched them around, that one would be better than that one. Like the wines are very, I keep going back to complex because I just didn't expect that. That was the first thing that kind of threw me for a good loop when we first tasted, was on your palate, the flavors, the length of the finish is there. And I knew Suzanne was not going to be able to answer that question. We are approaching the hour, which is usually what we try to cut down to so that we don't, keep you too long.
Definitely stay here and talk with you for hours about Lugana, but you can have me back. We can do, when you get back to A, we can talk about Lugana starting with the last letter of the alphabet.
You there you go. Oh, that would be tough. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
What do you do when you get to the end of the alphabet?
We just started a second season. We took a month off and started a second season. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. But one of the things we do, we did talk about food pairings and we did talk about the wineries. But one of the last things we always do is, if you were going to walk away from this presentation and you wanted these people who are listening to the podcast or watching it live or on YouTube, can you give us three fast facts? Like, what are three things that you want people to remember about Lugana?
Great. Okay, it's a white wine from Lake Garda made with the Turbiana grape. Then, it's very versatile. It's a wine that can age, and it comes in 5 styles. So that's 2. And then there are 200 producers. They make 23 million bottles. And it comes from 2 different regions in Italy, so Lombardy and the Veneto. So it's an interregional DOC.
And I love that.
So those are 9 things.
I do.
Those, yes.
As you can see, I really love this wine region, and I could talk about it.
The wines are beautiful. I mean, the 2 wines here that I have, and I know, Lori will be getting her soon. But I know you can't see them, but they are just stellar. They really are.
Well, Suzanne, I just want to say for Debbie and myself, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to us about Lugana. Beautiful grape, beautiful region that one of these days I'm going to get to see live. And I appreciate.
We're gonna go together.
Yep. All good.
So fun. I'll be there. We'll all go do fun things there together. Yeah. I really appreciate this opportunity. I think it's really great to be able to talk to your listeners and share my love of Lugana with them and with you. And happy birthday, Debbie.
Yes.
Thank you. Tomorrow
is Debbie's birthday. So
Debbie's birthday. So this has been really fun to spend this time together. I miss you guys.
I big hugs.
Yep.
Big hugs.
Big hugs.
Both of you, and be
we'll
well.
Talk soon.
And thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Feel good.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find me more easily. And most importantly, tell your wine-loving friends, because if you like the podcast, they will too. Until next week, sláinte.